HPR listeners. My name is Jezra, and I'm here with my buddy NY Bill. Bill, say hi.
Hello.
Awesome. Well, all right. Let's get this old ball a-rolling. First off, I'd like to say happy birthday to Moss Garden Ultra Turquoise Hannah. Happy birthday.
Nice. Happy birthday.
Yeah. So right now we've got 2011 coming to a close. Coming our way very fast is 2012. By the time most people hear this, it will be 2012. So you had mentioned somewhere in a online computer forum that I happen to know you from that you had a certain prediction for 2012, and I'd like to hear that again so we can discuss it.
Probably the Canonical Unity tablet one?
Absolutely.
I don't know. I can just see this coming down the line. Doesn't it seem like Unity is a very touch interface friendly? Have you used Unity?
No, not at all.
Oh.
But I know the idea behind Unity is to have one unified interface for desktop, tablet, possibly phone or mobile device, whatever you want to call it.
And it seems very touch friendly, large icons, and everything seems to be done in one window.
Oh, it's not very virtual multiple desktops like a typical Linux system?
It wasn't. I confess I only used it probably 20, 25 minutes. I don't think that's probably long enough to give it a real kicking in the tires, but it wasn't my thing. But I can see where they're going with it. One user experience. If they were going to go public with it, if they're going to put out a product to non-geeky people, you'd want one user experience. Ease of tech support. If someone was calling in for help, you wouldn't want people like us who tweak the heck out of our systems. It seems that's Unity's a one type of experience. Is that?
Yeah, I could definitely see Shuttleworth and the Canonical company saying, okay, we have this product and we need to get it out there. So who's going to put this on their machines? I could see them going to actually Dell. I could really see them going to Dell as a manufacturer, because Dell makes they were making the Streak for a while. And I can definitely see in the future, very large screen mobile devices, not quite tablets, but smaller than your standard 7-inch tablet, maybe like a 5-inch screen. Mobile works as a phone, it's a tablet, and it has this one interface that is the same as a desktop Linux or tablet Linux.
And they also seem to be coming out with some like the Ubuntu One, like cloud services and things that would support a tablet-y type of device.
Oh. Yeah, what is Ubuntu One?
I think it's cloud storage.
Like just storage? I know they do a music doohickey thing.
Yep, I think if you purchase music, it actually gets stored there in the Ubuntu One. I've kind of been out of the Ubuntu loop for like a year and a half, so I probably should have researched that Ubuntu One thing a little further, but the Unity thing, that's like, even my wife used Unity, and not being like a geek like us, her perspective of it was it seems like a tablet interface. There's no shutdown button, but if on a tablet you would have a hardware button, so I don't know.
Yeah, an ACPI button that press and it sends the shutdown signal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Actually, my buddy was saying that he had been doing a lot of research on the Windows 8 recently.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually felt very similar, that he said that it would be fantastic on a tablet. He was, you know, excited about where the UI of Windows 8 was going to go, which kind of scared me, but well, whatever.
I'm just kind of seeing a trend of, like, consumer devices are going to be devices, like an appliance. You turn them on and you do a few things with them, and you don't, you know, tweak them a lot or install new stuff. Stuff's coming out of markets, and it seems that's the direction things are going. That's my 2012.
Like an off-the-shelf router. You buy it, you plug it in, you turn it on. It may be running Linux for the most part. You don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You can go and install your own software on some of them if you want. But for the most part, you turn it on, it does what it's supposed to do, and you're happy.
Yep.
And people keep talking about This year's Linux, year of the Linux desktop. This year's year of the Linux desktop.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to disagree and say no year will ever be the year of the Linux desktop, because I think 2012, this is my prediction, is the year of the networked appliance. Mm. So that, and people are always saying, oh, I don't need my refrigerator to talk to my network. Well, maybe those people don't, but there's going to be someone who does. Someone who's going to say, with some sort of near-field communication, their refrigerator is going to tell them, your milk is old, it's gone bad, get new milk.
All right. Or press a button and it sends something out to the store and gets it ready for you, or delivers it.
Or your power consumption at home is too high. Do you want to power down the refrigerator a little bit? Do you want to turn something else off, turn something else on? Do you want to adjust the heat in your house, the thermostat controls? I think quite a few appliances are going to be going towards being networked, and they're all going to be controlled by people's pocket machines. And by a pocket machine, I mean a mobile phone or a tablet.
Or a Unity tablet.
Yeah, Unity tablet.
It comes awful. It comes right.
Me, I will be controlling everything with my Nokia N900 Linux device in my pocket.
Nice.
Which I've been using quite a bit recently, and I'm really liking it. What a damn shame.
Yeah, they keep dropping the ball on pretty much everything.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think there's no hope for Nokia anymore. Mm. Yeah, it's too bad. And let's see. So that's my prediction for 2012, is that there's going to be more appliances networked, and that is going to kill the desktop.
Mm.
Because the majority of users don't need a desktop. The majority of computer users need a cheap tablet so they can get online and see what people are writing on Facebook or Google+ or whatever is the sweet social networking site these days.
Cars are starting to come out all. I mean, you got a computer right in your dashboard.
Which can have some scary implications.
Yeah.
Having a touchscreen computer in the car can be bad. I don't see really how it can be too much worse than having, say, a push-button AM radio, unless it's designed in such a way that it has menus and is super busy for the user.
Oh, I'm sure it
and
will be.
It's going to cause problems. Oh, sure. Here's how to make it absolutely terrible. Let an engineer develop the interface. Here's how to ruin your product, no matter what it is.
They were trying to pass a law that you can't use your cell phone, you can't use any portable device, not even an MP3 player, no texting. I mean, this was nationwide. But
yeah.
The one that's in the dashboard, you're still able to use. The one that comes from the manufacturer. And I put on my tinfoil hat, and I just see backroom deals being made that, you know, you're going to need a separate cell and data account for your dashboard and a separate one for your phone and tinfoil hat stuff. Go ahead.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I can see that as well. I definitely see the advantage of having a computer in a car, mm-hmm. and being able to have a mesh network while driving down the freeway. Something that would say, 4 miles ahead, there is traffic congestion. You may want to take this exit. Oh, well, thank you, car computer. That's very helpful. Mm. But what I don't want to see is, oh, hi, I'm an engineer, and I put in 12 gazillion buttons into this thing, so you spend more time pressing buttons on the interface than you do with keeping your eyes on the wheel, or you don't have your hands on the wheel.
Or at a red light, you can play Tetris, something like that.
Oh, that's not bad. I love Tetris. Really, Tetris on the Game Boy, probably one of my favorite
Tetris
games.
Tetris is awesome, but we have enough distractions on the road. I hit my horn 3 times today. People are almost hitting me.
Oh. Yeah, people can be crazy drivers. So, speaking of user interfaces, and this is something that I've discussed with a few people before, and it's always really bothered me. The remote control to my former DVD player has like 40 buttons on it because an engineer developed it. The remote control for my television probably has about 35 buttons on it because an engineer developed it. I've seen the remote controls for the Google TV devices, and it's full on. It's full size keyboards.
I haven't seen that.
And, yeah. Well, you will.
Yeah, I know the Google's coming.
And people say, oh, there's this, the remote control for these devices is monstrous. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what it is. Someone says, oh, the device has XYZ feature, so we should put a button on the remote control that handles XYZ feature. When what they need to do is put an on-screen menu on the device that can be accessed from the remote control.
But
that's what they need to do.
I can just see some types not getting into menus and not liking it, and suddenly their TV is all blue and too much green. And
but when they're creating the device, having a... Oh, yes. Well, yeah, I guess I should probably think of a good example first of what one of these possible features are. Me, I just need to select what I want to play and hit play and let it play. Maybe fast forward, rewind. That's it. Volume up and down. That's it. That's all I want. That's all I need. If I need something else, put it in a configuration file somewhere. Not a configuration file. Put it in a menu accessible configuration. Mm-hmm. That's what I would like.
This man hates features.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Features to me are just big piles of cans.
I know you well enough, buddy.
Shot. It's true. I hate features.
I don't know if it's like a selling point. If some people, when they go buy a TV that looks attractive to them, that the remote control's 5 inches by eight inches and has LCD and 600 buttons, I'm not sure. I'm with you. I mean, play, pause, maybe mute, fast forward. That's what
I mean. And then rewind, or whatever the new term needs to be for rewind, because it's not a tape. Mm. It's not a cassette. It's not VCR. It's not an 8-track. It's not reel-to-reel. There's nothing to wind.
We're getting old now, though, so we don't know these new terms.
Yeah, there is no new term. That's the problem. People still dial a number on a phone, even though phones don't have dials anymore. But it's the nomenclature, and that's just, it's there. I need to come up with a new word. I will change everything. Mm. It'll be great. So, looking forward, would you like to warm up this topic for us?
Well, you said our predictions, and what are we looking forward in the next year? For me, it would be Northeast Linux Fest.
And you went last year to Northeast Linux
yep.
Fest.
Three of us carpooled down, three of us from the lug.
All right, so, well, we can talk about LUG later, but tell me about Northeast Linux Fest.
It's just great getting together in a room full of fellow Linux geeks, basically. You're there amongst friends. It's like a camaraderie, like instant friends. And then it's nice seeing people that you know online, you've only ever talked to in text, and you meet them, shake their hands, you finally put a name to a face, and that's what I really enjoy, actually, just hanging out with everyone.
Awesome. So I've got, in the next year, as far as Linux meetups go, aside from my lug, I've got the Scale, the Southern California Linux Expo, which I guess is in its 10th year. I've never gone before. I haven't really gone to any Linux-based events other than my lug and the MIGO conference in San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
So other than that, I've never gone to a large Linux
Scale one. Yeah, Scale's one of the big ones, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty big from what I hear. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, Northeast Linux Fest was pretty small last year, maybe 100 people. So you actually felt like you really got to get around and meet everyone. I don't know how big it's going to be this year. It sounds like it's gearing up to be a bit larger.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I hope you have as much fun this year as you did last year, but it sounds like it's going to happen.
We're already talking about carpooling, so it should be good.
Nice. So, other things looking forward to in 2012. I'm looking forward to the Raspberry Pi finally coming out and shipping.
Yeah.
And for any listeners who don't know what the Raspberry Pi is, it is a very small, single-board, ARM-powered system-on-chip that has HDMI out, RCA video out, Did I mention it's small, about the size of a credit card?
They are tiny.
Yeah, they are very small.
I've been keeping my eye on it, but I'm not sure how or when we're going to be able to get one.
$25. That's what I find to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm not sure how they're doing that, actually.
$35 for the onboard network. There's a version that comes out with the onboard network, and it is $35. Me, I would go $25 because I would just throw – it's got USB, so I could throw a wireless USB card in there.
Yeah, I've been keeping my eye on it. I would really like to get my hands on one. I heard they're going to make a limited run, but the first production units are going to go to developers, so we'd have to say we're going to be developers.
Well, I'm actually working on something that could possibly run on it. And so I will definitely, yeah. If they're only going to developers, then I'm going to submit my project for it.
You're a developer then.
All yeah, right. Absolutely.
I recently joined a 2600 group, and we get into a little more hardware hacking over there. So that would be a great little project.
What is the I've heard about 2600 group before, and obviously it's not in reference to the Atari. So where does the 2600 come from?
2600 is the frequency of a dial tone. That's where it comes from, and it's an old I don't know how far it goes back, late 60s or something. But it's back in the hacker culture and the phone freaks. And okay. it was a magazine for a long time, and it's now there's a podcast, Off the Wall, and there's Off the Hook. And it's just kind of like we go to Lugs, and these are a little bit more hardware hackers go to 2600 meetings.
Oh. Well, I'll have to check that one out.
But to be honest, everybody in our 2600 group are also Linux users, so it all blends together.
I think, as far as hacking hardware, hacking software, it's different parts of the same culture, really.
Yeah, it's just that inquisitive mindset that you want to just learn more and know more, and how is this working?
And why is it not broken yet?
Yep, or why is it broken? What did I do? That happens too.
We try not to talk about that one too much, though. So is there anything else coming up 2012 that you're really, really looking forward to? Hardware, software?
You put me on the spot with that one. No, I can't think of anything other than Fest. I'm hoping to get to some of the – there's Ohio Linux Fest and there's Southeast Linux Fest. If I can figure out how to get down there and – yeah, I'm looking forward to Fest.
Awesome. Fest. And Lug?
Lug. Well, tell me about your lug, and then I'll tell you about my lug.
All right, so let's trade some lug stories. My lug is the North Bay Linux Users Group, NBLUG. I'm a little biased when I talk about it because I'm on the board of directors. My position is director at large, and by that I have certain responsibilities, which are to promote Linux and to promote my lug. And my lug meets on the second Tuesday of every month at the O'Reilly Building in Sebastopol, California at 7:30 p.m.
How many members would you say?
Like
in general members, and then in general, how many show up per meeting?
I have actually no way of knowing how many members there actually are. To be a member, one needs to simply show up, and they're a member. Depending on the topic of conversation. So the way our lug usually works is someone will give a presentation about something Linux related. And then there'll be and this could be like a half hour to an hour long presentation. And then there'll be some questions and answers afterwards. Or sometimes there will be just a sort of hack fest where, hey, you know, bring in your project. We're all just going to sit around and talk about what we're doing with Linux. And depending on, the topic of the conversation, it can get really, really full. And by full, I mean like 45, maybe 50 people. Our last meeting, the president, Kyle Rankin, gave a presentation on how to hack into your own Linux-based router. And he had a specific router that he was working on. And he's actually giving that presentation again at scale. It's pretty interesting.
Oh, cool.
It was... how to, through a web interface, trick your router into running shell commands.
Nice. So our lug is upstate New York. I'm not on the board, so I don't know. I mean, if somebody's interested and in upstate New York, you could probably look it up and find it online. But yeah, we're once a month too, and basically it's just a room full of Linux geeks, and we talk about whatever we want. Some people get off in pockets of people working on a project, or somebody comes in with a problem and other people help them, and it can get pretty loud.
A lot of shouting, a lot of BSD, Linux fighting.
I haven't seen a fight yet, but no, it just, I don't know, it starts off as a murmur, and then when everybody starts getting excited about whatever they're getting into, sometimes you can come away hoarse because you've been shouting over people, but it's good fun.
So, all you listeners out there, go find a lug. If you're not a part of a lug, join one. It's a good place to meet people.
Or start one.
Good place to, yeah, or start one. If there's not a close by lug, start one up. Coffee shop, a pub, probably coffee shop.
College would be that would just hang posters and get a room. You could probably get a bunch of people together quick at a college.
College?
That was so long ago, I don't remember. You guys had rooms?
Yeah, now it's all tablets and laptops, and it used to be books and pencils. Mm. Oh, those damn kids!
The year after I graduated, they got a grant to get a computer lab to teach what I was there for. So.
Oh, what, at college?
Yeah, I went for graphic design. I learned the old rulers, razors, you know, pencils, drafting boards.
Nice.
I learned the old way. I couldn't get a job after I got out. They all said, what computer experience do you have? And I said, I don't. And like a year or two later, they got a grant from someone and put in a whole, I don't know if it was Macs or what it was, but I was there at the wrong time, right at the wrong time.
They're probably all Windows machines running AutoCAD.
Could be. I haven't been back since.
Yeah. But you know what? Now you had experience with the VIC-20 and the 64?
Yep,
back in the when, yeah, that didn't count.
No, they didn't care about that. What could you draw? They had a koala pad, which you could probably do 4 colors or 16 colors. No, that didn't count.
No, that's a damn shame. Speaking of the Commodore, well, just the name. You know, they're coming out with new Commodores.
Yeah, I saw that about a year ago.
Yeah.
I guess they bought the name, and it was like an Atom-based thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, as far as I know, they're like...
Atom-based Linux box, I think it was.
Yeah. So the machine, it seems like it's a mini ITX motherboard mm-hmm. inside of the keyboard. So it looks like the VIC-20.
Yeah, the first ones I saw were just kind of like a square metal, looked like their own proprietary box, but then the new one... I saw a later picture, and it looked exactly like the old Commodore 64 or the VIC-20.
Yeah, so I mean, they have a couple models, and
the CD tray comes out the side.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the Linux they have—I didn't really look into it too much, but it's monstrous. It is like every package ever made ever.
You ever notice they start rolling out things that are from our childhood when we get old enough to have some disposable income?
Oh.
Especially like movies and stuff, they keep remaking movies that or toys that we had when we were kids, so that you might want to bring your kid. Oh, let's go see this movie. But
oh, okay. Yeah. Then here's my prediction for 2012. Uh-oh. There will be something I really liked in my childhood, and some jackass is going to make a fucking 3D movie about it. In 3D.
Oh,
Three D
is just a headache machine.
So they're going to take this story that I loved as a kid, they're going to get some shitty actors, they're going to get a ton of computer-generated explosions, and they're going to make it 3D. And everyone's going to hate it, and then the movie industry is going to complain that they're losing so much money because of piracy.
Oh, let's not go down the SOPA line.
Oh, yeah, well. This has nothing to do with SOPA.
That's a sore
or
point.
Or PIPA.
That could be a whole episode. That debacle.
Yeah. Well. Actually it wouldn't, because that would be preaching to the choir for the most part.
That's true, yeah.
SOPA bad.
I didn't want to get too political right there, that's why I didn't start.
Okay.
In polite company, don't mention religion or politics. It's one of those things.
My biggest concern with you discussing politics is that your avatar is a primate holding a firearm.
If you can get past that, I'm actually a nice guy.
So we did actually, I briefly mentioned a project as development possibly for the Raspberry Pi. And so, hey, Bill, got any projects coming up?
Hardware? Software?
Yeah. Hardware, software.
I have a little of each. Hardware with the 2600 group. I just bought a Teensy board. Have you ever heard of these?
No, not at all.
It's like a little tiny Arduino-compatible development board, like 16 pinouts, USB. And I'm going to try and run a Commodore 64 1541 disk drive to USB. That's my project. I did it to a parallel port once, and it was just so nostalgic when you actually like put up an 64 emulator and get that old drive to start making those old noises. It was very gratifying. So I'm going to see if I can get it to work with USB.
Now, do you still have data on drives that would be accessible through that device?
Through the 1541?
And I don't mean through the Teensy, but I mean like, what, it was a 5 1/4 drive?
Yep.
Do you have like floppies that are actually floppy?
Yeah, I still have all of them. I have two drives, two Commodore monitors. My 64 is dead. I don't know if one of the chips burned up or something, but yeah, I still have all my old floppies, and most of them are like hacks and cracks. It was a big scene back then.
Now, yeah, I mean, say this might be a bit of a personal question, but what do you have on these disks that you haven't transferred to something? Or is it just there for nostalgic reasons?
Yeah, it's kind of nostalgia with me. I mean, there's nothing you'd really want to transfer. There's old programs that I used to write. There's some BASIC I used to do. Or sometimes you get the old magazines like Compute, and you'd type in a program that's in the magazine for like a day, and then you would correct syntax errors for like the next 2 days. And I mean, there's Ooh, stuff awesome. I saved, and there's just a ton of games and things. But it's just nostalgia.
You know, I understand. Sometimes it's just nice to kick back and play some Galaga.
I actually don't ever even turn it on and play it. It's just, I don't know why I keep it around. Just for things like that, like hacking on it. I mean, whoever thought a 1541 drive can run on USB, but what's you got any hardware hacks going on? You're talking on the Red phone right now, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm talking on the Red phone, which is, I guess it's a hardware hack. It's just the receiver from a cheap plastic phone that I've wired up to plug into the headphone and microphone port on my laptop so that I can use it as a phone. I like phones.
Actually, I think the Red phone was the reason you and I, well, we've known each other for years, but the reason you and I like talked first, because I think you set up a Mumble server, and you mentioned like one time on Identico or maybe a forum just oh, can you help me test this? So I put on Mumble, and we used to talk, you know, back then.
Yeah, I needed a tester. I needed a subject, and you stepped up to the challenge, hey. And I was very happy.
I'm always there. Hey, buddy, awesome. Tester.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah.
I still use it every day.
Oh, yeah, you know, I'm not using it until, I need to set up my own Identica, my own status.net instance.
Actually, that will go right into projects, because if we were going to talk about software, that is my software project, so sounds like it's yours too.
Well, so I looked into, it will be, well, at least setting it up. I also looked into RStatus, which is a Ruby on Rails-based.
Okay.
Federated microblogging instance application.
Have some type of API that it can talk to different.
Yeah,
does that talk
to
like Identica and StatusNet?
Yeah, it goes through OStatus to federate. Yeah.
I took an old laptop and I threw Crunchbang on it and the LAMP stack and StatusNet 1.0, and I got everything up and running. But I was just using my. My external IP address. So my next step, I have to get a domain.
Oh man!
And figure out all that stuff, you know.
So.
Go ahead.
You can get, because I use a dynamic DNS service for routing stuff to my actual house.
Yeah, that that was one road I could go down. I think we have dynamic IPs with my internet service provider, but I've had the same IP for about 3 years now. So I'm not really sure how that's working out, but I SSH back to my house and my IP has never changed. So I suppose I could go that route.
You could go that route, and it would be sort of in line with Ibn Moghlin's Freedom Box, which is have your instances of whatever it may be, microblogging or some sort of social network stuff, have it on a machine in your own house so that you know exactly who has physical access to the computers that your information is on.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That was the idea of the Freedom Box. And I think that was that came about when there was a lot of discussion about the Pogo plug computers. Mm-hmm. Or like the Shiva plug, the small walwart sized.
Yeah, I've never owned one, but a couple of them float around the lug and I looked at it.
Yeah. I think that'd probably be a nice project for the Raspberry Pi.
Oh, yeah, nice.
No reason why it wouldn't work. So hardware wise, and not too much of a hardware hack, I have a wooden box here at my place that was a former box that held probably 6 bottles of wine.
Hmm.
Some winery had these, they make these pine boxes and for shipping out their wine, and then when they're done, they just have all these dead tree bits laying around, which I think is terribly wasteful. So they crush them up and they throw them in a dumpster. And so I got my hands on one, and I'm probably going to gut my current home server and my current desktop, Frankenstein smash them all into one machine, and put them in this box, put it in my box.
Nice.
So what I'm going to end up with is a 1 gigahertz machine running fanless, so it'll be nice and quiet, and have a bunch of hard drives in there. Maybe one fan. I'll put in one fan.
Nice. Yeah, we're gonna need to see before and after pics.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll definitely document that one.
The only other project that might be coming up for me is I just got some SD cards, Class 10, like a fast SD card, and I just want to do a couple of persistent installs because I want to distro hop when I'm at the lug, but I leave CrunchBang on my EEE. That's all that's like ever run on it. But I do want to fool around with Backtrack a little bit, so.
What is Backtrack?
Hacking, cracking. It's a distro that's kind of tailored towards penetration and cracking. And
got it.
Like Metasploit and all that stuff.
Nope. Well, then I will give you my IP address and you will let me know.
So we're around 45 minutes of monster edits. Do you want to do the
listener feedback? We have
none. Yeah. Oh, contact information. There we go.
Yeah, contact information. Yeah. If you'd like more information about anything we discussed, feel free to contact us. You can contact me, Jezra, at jezra@jezra.net.
And I'm around online in Identica or forums or sometimes IRC. But I will be getting an email address soon. As soon as I figure out that domain stuff, I'm going to make an email that I can put up on HPRs or anywhere else. So it'll be out soon. Oh, we didn't say goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Okay, goodbye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.